To the Chicago 15, slot right, single receiver Hester to the left. Press coverage, snap. Tahiti throws it over the middle.
Intercepted! Intercepted B.J. Raji to the end zone for the touchdown! And an NFC Championship dagger!
Blitz is on. Rodgers scrambles left. Winds up Rainbow.
He's got Cobb at the 10 to the 5.
Yes.
To the end zone. Touchdown! And a dagger!
Aaron Rodgers ducks in under center. Drops to a knee. And time melts away from Super Bowl 45. The title is back in town. The Green Bay Packers are world champions of football.
The Wisconsin Sports Trilogy presents the Packers Trilogy Podcast.
Heyo, Packer fans, what's going on? Welcome to the Packers Trilogy Podcast presented by the Wisconsin Sports Trilogy, the podcast for diehard Packer fans by diehard Packer fans. I'm your host, Trevor. You can find me on Twitter at Bender_Trevor. And as always, you can find our podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Trilogy_Pod. I am back a day late this week. I had been on call the weekend of Memorial Day, including Memorial Day itself. And I worked quite a bit on Memorial Day. I was planning on doing a podcast. I was at work a lot and I did not get around to it. But I'm here. I am back with some more Packers content for you. And I'm really excited. I purposely have a shorter episode this week, but I think it's an important one, and I think it's an important one following our podcast from last week. So last week I went through and talked a lot about different players that I felt needed to step up for this team to be good. So I went through some rookies, and the highlight of the rookies was I felt like Lucas Van Ness needs to step up the most. Second-year players, I talked about Christian Watson, Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker. Third-year players, mainly Eric Stokes, but also Josh Myers. And then fourth-year players, obviously, the only guy that really matters is Jordan Love. And then I talked about our older veterans, and I mainly talked about the stars of this team, right? Not necessarily the Devondre Campbells, the Rasul Douglases, but the actual stars of this team. So the Rashawn Garys, Jair Alexanders, Kenny Clarks, David Bakhtiaris, Elton Jenkins, Aaron Jones, those types of players. So there is a good group of players that I feel like need to step up and play very, very well next year. Obviously, the rookies have a little bit different a different stature of what they need to get to than, say, a Rashawn Gary or a Jair Alexander, right? Obviously, completely different level of players, so, you know, we're expecting different things from them. But the rookies need to step up just as much as, let's say, those high-level veteran type of players, such as Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, etc. So that's kind of what I went through last week. I went in a little bit more detail last week. Make sure you go back and listen. There's a lot of good information in there. I dive a little bit deeper into the rookies. So make sure you go and listen to that. But this week I wanted to talk about something that goes hand in hand with that, but is not necessarily focused on the Packers players themselves. And the idea came to me, and it's just kind of one thing, but I wanted to break it up into a couple different things. So first, for me, it's coaching. Okay, the Packers coaches need to step up and perform. Just as I talked about last week with players needing to step up and perform, so do the coaches. Obviously, if all of the players I talked about step up and perform very well, it's going to look very, very good on the coaches. But there's a good possibility that not all of these players are going to step up like that. You know, there might be some players that didn't talk about that play even better than we expect. There's also going to be some players that disappoint a little bit. And there might even be some that were on that list I just went through. So there is going to be some balance there. There's going to be players that outperform where we think they're going to, and there's going to be players that disappoint. And to me, our coaching staff needs to do the best they can to make sure it's far more leaning towards players are outperforming where we think they'd be versus the other way around, where they're not performing like they should. And that's both a player thing, but it's also a coaching issue if there's multiple players not performing the way they should be. I'm going to start with the guy that like absolutely needs to perform, and that's Joe Barry. So if Joe Barry doesn't perform well and the defense is not good, he just flat out is out of a job next year. And I don't think there's much of a question for that. He is on the hot seat, and like I said, there's not much debating that. He needs to be on the hot seat. I think his seat was quite warm this past season. I think a lot of Packer fans wanted the Packers to move on from Joe Barry last season. I do understand, you know, the thinking that you need to have a little continuity. You can't always just be turning over the defensive coordinator, and maybe that means we need to question who we're hiring if we need to constantly turn it over. So I do think there's a little bit of like the hiring process needs to be improved, but also the coaches just need to coach better, because Joe Barry has not been a great addition to this defense. Mike Pettine wasn't a great contributor to our defense. You know, obviously he had a year where it felt like the defense was good, but like it wasn't consistently good enough with Mike Pettine. And with Joe Barry, I think we're running into the same thing, and he needs to perform now. It's now or never for Joe Barry. And I think that means those guys I talk about already, he needs to rely on them, and he needs to put these guys, the veterans, right? The Rashawn Gary, Jay Alexander, Kenny Clark, obviously those are your star veterans, but you also need to put guys like Darnell Savage, like Preston Smith, Devondre Campbell, and then your young players such as Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Lucas Van Ness, and then the other two rookies in Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden. You need to put those guys in positions that they're going to succeed. It cannot be he's just putting these guys in his scheme to fill a role in his scheme. He needs to build this defense around the talent that the Packers have on the defensive side of the ball, and they have the talent. There is no question that they have the talent. You know, just the guys I mentioned, Rashawn Gary, top-tier edge rusher in this league. He is for sure, I argue, top 10. People might not see that, but he's for sure a top 15, top 20 edge rusher in this league. A good number one pass rusher. At the very, very least, that's what Rashawn Gary is. Jair Alexander, top five corner, no doubt. In my mind, top three. Kenny Clark, top five interior defensive lineman. Like, there's some great talent there. You have Devondre Campbell. Wasn't fantastic last year, but he was an all-pro 2 years ago. Great, great talent. And then you throw in the guys like Devontae Wyatt, like Quay Walker, like Darnell Savage, that, you know, not like elite level production that we've seen out of them, but all three of those guys have some crazy high ceilings, in my opinion. So let's go and let's put all of these guys who we know can either play well or have the potential to play well, and put them in the best situation for them, and try to figure out a way how it can be the best situation for the vast majority of those players. Just because Joe Barry wants to play off coverage and sit in zone, if that's not what his team is best at, and his team is best at pressing, playing man coverage, we need to press and play more man coverage. It doesn't just need to be what Joe Barry wants to do or what Matt LaFleur wants to do on the defensive side of the ball. You need to put your players in the best possible situation to succeed. And that is what Joe Barry needs to do, because there is talent on this defense. There is talent on this defense. There's no question about that. Brian Gutekunst has put together a good defense, a talented defense. Now Joe Barry needs to go out and prove and make this a actual good NFL defense. It does not need to be a top five defense in the league. That'd be great. That'd be fantastic. But it doesn't have to be. Go out. Last year, they were a top 10 passing defense per DVOA, but they were like 25th in the run. So let's go out and be a top 10 passing defense, and let's be average against the run, right? Now, you don't particularly see like any great additions in terms of defensive run stuffers through free agency in the draft, but in my mind, you got addition by subtraction, getting Dean Lowry off this team and off the field. I think Devontae Wyatt can be a plus-plus version of Dean Lowry. I don't think that's saying all that much, but losing Dean Lowry and adding Devontae Wyatt in those exact snaps, I think is a net positive for this defense. And then Jerron Reed wasn't that good last year. They move on from him. I would have understand bringing him back, but he just flat out wasn't that great last year. And this is where you need Lucas Van Ness, Colby Wooden, or Carl Brooks to come out and step up now and make that role theirs. Or even TJ Slayton, who I haven't mentioned. Another player, younger player, that could step up and get a valuable role here. So in if one of those players or two of those players step up, that's going to be big, because now Kenny Clark can go be a monster again. Because teams have had to just focus on Kenny Clark blocking outside of Rashawn Gary, right? So they double in the middle on Kenny Clark. Then they they send a chip. They, you know, help out on Rashawn Gary on the edge. And no one else can penetrate and make big plays, make splash plays. So now it's tough to stop the run, right? So I do think there needs to be some improvement there. And I really truly believe if you put these guys in the right positions to succeed, that this defense is going to be better than they were last year. And Joe Barry 1,000,000,000% has to do that. So that was my Joe Barry talk. I kind of went a little bit longer on Joe Barry than I expected to, but I think it's very important for him to step up. And my second coach that I, not really on the hot seat here, because I think he gets this year and next year for sure, but he has to go out and prove that he can build an offense around a non-MVP quarterback. Aaron Rodgers was not an MVP quarterback last year, and this offense wasn't good. And I don't have a lot of negative thoughts being like that was Matt LaFleur's fault this past year, because I personally think Aaron Rodgers wanted to do what Aaron Rodgers wanted to do, and he didn't allow Matt LaFleur to call the game that Matt LaFleur would like to call. Because if you think back from last year and then wind the clock back to 2020, and you pick any game, I don't really care what outside of, you know, those couple of blowouts that the Packers had. I think that 2020 was a year that they didn't show up against the Chargers. And then also San Francisco, I think, when they went out on the West Coast, they got destroyed by those two teams in the 13-3 season in 2020. But outside those couple games, the Packers were incredible that year, and especially offensively. And I think a big part of that was due to Matt LaFleur's offense, not a combination of Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, and maybe there was a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in that offense, I do think, but it wasn't nearly as big as it was in 2021 or even more so in 2022, because Aaron Rodgers just did what he wanted to in 2022. And it resulted in Aaron Rodgers not playing as well. I firmly believe Matt LaFleur had a big part of why Aaron Rodgers played that well in 2020 and 2021. Obviously, is also the chip on the shoulder from the draft pick of Jordan Love, all that kind of stuff. But I do think Matt LaFleur had a huge, huge part in that, because his offense was fun to watch. It was new. It was different. It was like, it reminded me of like Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers early on in their tenure. Like, it was new and different and all that kind of stuff. But then in 2022, Aaron Rodgers is like, nope, I want to run my offense. And it's the retread Mike McCarthy offense that Aaron Rodgers wanted out of in 2017 and 2018. But now, just because it's Matt LaFleur there, Aaron Rodgers wants to go back to that. Like, I really don't understand it. It makes no sense. But if Matt LaFleur gets back to that offense, Jordan Love can run that offense. You know, you look in San Francisco, Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy ran that offense very well. Granted, they have better skill position players than the Packers do, you know, and it's really not even close. They got Debo, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle. Like, their skill position group is definitely better than the one the Packers have, but the offensive scheme is relatively similar, and importantly similar, because that it's easier on your quarterback. I promise you, Jordan Love, if Jordan Love was in San Francisco last year, the San Francisco 49ers would have made the Super Bowl, in my opinion. I don't know if they would have beaten the Chiefs, but they would have beaten the Eagles. And to me, there's like no question about that, because Jordan Love is a hell of a lot more talented than Brock Purdy is, and it's not close. Don't come to me and tell me that it's close, because Brock Purdy is not that good. Kyle Shanahan is that good, and he just happens to be in that system. And I don't think Brock Purdy is that good anywhere else. I really firmly believe that. So that is what Matt LaFleur has to do. Obviously, it doesn't have to be quite to the Shanahan level, because Kyle Shanahan is a wizard, in my opinion. But he needs to go out there, and he needs to bring the Matt LaFleur offense back. And he needs to have those genius play calls, those surprise, you know, tight end leaks, and all those types of things that get guys open, that scheme guys open. Because you don't have the best skill talent in the world. Obviously, there are some very skillful players on this team. Aaron Jones leads the charge in that. Christian Watson leads the charge in that. And then you got very nice players in Romeo Doubs, in A.J. Dillon, in some of these young rookies. Obviously, we haven't seen it at the NFL level, but there's a lot of skill in the young rookies. If you go to the tight end position with Luke Musgrave, with Tucker Kraft, wide receivers, all three of them in my mind have a lot of good skill and could be impactful at the next level. In Grant DuBose, Dontavian Wicks, and Jaden Reed, I think all of those guys have skill. We'll see how much of it they have at the NFL level, but I think it's important that Matt LaFleur really, just like Joe Barry on the defense, puts these guys in positions to succeed while still bringing back his offense and really cementing himself as a great play designer and play caller in the NFL. He's got to do it this year. And truly, if Matt LaFleur doesn't come out and do it this year, then his seat is very, very hot for the 2024 season. So I think maybe Matt LaFleur's seat's starting to get a little warm, but if he goes out and this offense looks better than it did last year and looks like it has flashes of being great, then Matt LaFleur is his seat's no longer warm, right? And I think he will do this, but it is important that he does, because if he doesn't, this will be a very interesting thing. Like, what if Jordan Love goes out there and looks great, but the just play calling, the time management, all of that stuff just feels terrible, right? If Jordan Love looks pretty good and you can see the flashes, just like, let's say, 2008 Aaron Rodgers, but the offense looks disjointed because of the play calling, the red zone play calling is terrible, short distance, you know, third, fourth, and short look terrible play calling, time management's piss poor, all that type of stuff, then Matt LaFleur is still on the hot seat, even though you feel confident and comfortable with Jordan Love as your franchise guy, right, in the quarterback position. So that's an interesting little thing that could happen. Matt LaFleur is on the hot seat, but Jordan Love signs an extension. That could be interesting, and something that Matt LaFleur has to guard against. Like I said, if he just goes out there and brings back his 2020 offense and just lets Jordan Love run it, and obviously it's a little different because you're not having as much reads in the offense because Aaron Rodgers still wanted that, right? He wanted those pre and post snap and changing stuff at the line of scrimmage. There isn't going to be as much of that, so it's going to be purely Matt LaFleur's offense. So that's exciting, right? Matt LaFleur has to be excited about this, and he needs to do his best to make it easy on Jordan Love. If Jordan Love is good and he makes it easy on Jordan Love, this offense could be incredible because there is the skill talent to back it up. Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, the rookies, AJ Dillon. You know, there is players on this team that could make this a great offense, but the combination of Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love need to be on the same page and need to understand each other and put each other in the right frame of mind to succeed, right? And that is kind of the entire point of this podcast, is our coaches need to put our guys in the correct position to succeed. Because if they do that, this team can be a lot better than a lot of people see, right? A lot of people see a 7, 8, 9 win team, right? Right about 500-ish, you know, generally a little bit less than 500, the 8-9, 7-10, 9-8 type of thing, right? So nothing extraordinary, but nothing terrible. But that's what a lot of people see this team as. But if Joe Barry puts guys in the right positions to succeed, and this team is a top 10 to 14 defense, and the offense is as good or slightly better than they were last year, and they should be, let's say they are a top 10 offense, and then you got a top 10 to 15 defense, this team is going to win 10 games. I know a lot of national people, Bears fans, Vikings fans, Lions fans aren't going to agree with me, but if that's what happens, this team is going to walk to 10 wins. The schedule is not that terrible. It's not a difficult schedule at all. So they should, if these things work out like this, they should walk to 10 wins and have the ability to win 11 or 12 if they get a little lucky, or if Jordan Love looks great, Christian Watson emerges as a true superstar number one in this league. You know, those types of things happen. I could easily see this team winning 11 games, 12 games maybe. Like, that's exciting, and you should be excited for this. That is going to be it for me this week. I just wanted to take a step back. Like, I've been talking a lot about the players, and I felt like it was important to bring up the coaches and why and how it's important for them to come in and step up, because it is very important for them. And it's obviously more than just Joe Barry and Matt LaFleur. Obviously, you need your offensive coordinator to step up. You know, you need your pass game and run game coordinators to come together to create a cohesive and great unit, and importantly, a good red zone offense, and importantly, a good third down and red zone defense. You know, those types of things. You need to be good in those areas, and it's more than just Matt LaFleur and Joe Barry. They need to use their other coaches as well in that regard, but they need to build this team cohesively and put their units that they're in charge of and make them a cohesive unit that puts the most guys in the best position to succeed. So that's where we're at this week. We'll come back next week. We'll be back on Tuesdays starting next week again. Just a crazy weekend for me. So we're getting a podcast out on Wednesday here. Make sure you come back and listen. Listen to last week's, talking about all those different players and why it's so important for them to step up. I think it's a good predecessor to this episode. So make sure you go back and listen to that. And until next week, go Pack, go.